Romans 12 and verse number 1. Just going to read a few verses this morning. Title of today's message is, What Do You Want Me to Do? What do you want me to do? Romans 12 and beginning in verse number 1. Just going to read the first two verses of chapter 12 this morning. As you find your place there. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may be seated this morning. You know, sometimes I think that maybe we come into church and maybe we're in a rush to get here. We got to make sure our outfit looks nice and so forth. And kind of we got our plans for what are we doing after church. And we make sure, especially if you got kids, I know your morning is hectic, all right? Bringing them in and somebody always, did you leave one behind, and and so forth. But I think sometimes on Sunday it's important because we might kind of get started and we get up and, oh, we got to go. That before we ever come into church, sometimes we forget to pray, don't we? And we forget to take time and say, you know, God, I pray that you would speak to me this morning, that you would show me something through your word. And earlier today, we had our first Sunday prayer meeting, but I just want to take a moment this morning. Maybe if you forgot to. Hey, listen, I forget to sometimes, okay? But maybe you got going, you got rushing, and you just forgot to pray. You forgot to take that time and ask God to challenge you through his word this morning. Let's take just a moment, maybe 30 seconds here. And would you bow with me and spend just some time there in your seat, praying to the Lord that he would speak to you this morning. Father, forgive us when we just get in a rush and we get going and we're so worried about do that we forget, Lord, that in order to be who you want us to be, we have to include you in our lives. God, I pray that you would speak to each individual this morning, no matter their age, no matter where they're at in life. We know that the Word of God, your Word, is for all people, for all time, for all eternity. It'll never pass away. We know that it's relevant to us today, so help us, God, as we learn from it this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. All God's people said, amen. It's never too late to ask God what he wants you to do. And please don't tune me out, all right? Maybe you're already thinking about, well, what about after church? Am I going to Chipotle? What am I doing here? Am I hitting up that El Palomar? Them chips and salsa are calling my name. Hey, listen, we'll be out before the Methodists. You don't worry. We'll get you there, okay? I'm just kidding. That's not a stigma that Methodists like chips and salsa anyway. But it's never too late to ask God what he wants you to do. Have you ever prayed and asked God that question? Maybe a simple prayer before, God, what do you want me to do with my life? You know, the first time I ever asked that question, I was 17. Now, I was saved when I was 15 years old. But the first time I asked God that question, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I was 17 years old. God, what do you want me to do? See, so often what happens is we choose what we want to do, and then we just ask God to bless it. Don't miss that. Very often, instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do? We just choose what we want to do, and then we say, oh, and God, by the way, will you bless what I've already decided to do? we make the plans and then ask God to bless the plans instead of asking God in the first place, are these the plans you have for me anyways? You know, this past week, Job, my youngest, which is two, I tease him all the time. And sometimes I'll just say, Job, what do you want to do? What are you going to do about it? And I'll start talking trash to him. And he gives it back, man. But he'll come to me and he'll kind of just do one of these, you know. The other day he whacked me in the leg and hurt his hand. And he said, Daddy, kiss it. He said, Daddy, will you kiss it? And I said, you punched me in the leg and now you want me to kiss your boo-boo from punching me in the leg? Isn't that what we do with God sometimes?
Yes, sir, amen.
We do what we want and then we say, God, will you kiss the boo-boo? Now, will you bless it? Will you make it better? When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, do you remember the words that he said? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If we were honest this morning, oftentimes our prayers and the way we live our lives, we tend to say, thy kingdom come, but my will be done. I was 17 years old when I asked God that question. God, what do you want me to do? You see, I had went out on visitation with my youth pastor. My youth pastor called me up. He said, hey, I'm going to make some visits for the church. You want to come with me? It was a Monday evening. I said, sure. He picked me up. We went out. And I still remember those times, those moments with my youth pastor as I saw him, this man of God, share the gospel with people, tell them about Jesus and how to get to heaven, tell them about the penalty for sin. And even today, the way he responded to certain questions and the answers that he gave, even today, those things still stick in my mind, how he responded. And when we got done with our visitation, he pulled into my driveway and we were just kind of having some small talk. And he asked me this question. He said, so what are you going to do after college? Or excuse me, after high school, after you graduate? See, I was a senior, 17 years old. And I started listing off my plans. Did you get that? My plans. And I said, well, yeah, I'm going to go to this college, and here's what I'm going to study while I'm there, and while I'm at that college, I'm going to do this and that, and I just listed them off. And he asked me a question. It was just a simple question, but it was a question that I truly believe altered the course of my life. He said, well, did you pray about it? And I don't know what I told him, but I know the answer to that question. I don't know what I said to him, but the answer to that question was no. I hadn't prayed about it. Not even one time. And here I was, listen, a Christian. I'd been saved for 2 years. I was faithful to church. I came to Sunday school. I came to Sunday morning. I came to Sunday night service. By the way, we have Sunday night service, okay? I came to Wednesday night. I was faithful to youth group. I was out on visitation. I usually came early and I stayed late. And all this time, when it came to my plans, my life, my future, I had not asked God, what do you want me to do, God? See, what I did was I saw all my friends making decisions. They're picking their colleges, they're planning their careers and their future and their paths in life. And I just fell in line and did the same thing. So he said, well, why don't you pray about it? That's what he said. Why don't you pray about it? I said, okay. I was 17 years old when I got on my knees and I prayed a simple prayer. I don't remember the words exactly, but it was along the lines of, God, what do you want me to do? It wasn't until I was 18 that I was back in my bedroom on my knees and face before God again when I prayed a different prayer and I said, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. There's a difference between that, isn't it? Knowing what God wants you to do and walking in that path are two different things. You see, God revealed to me what he wanted me to do, but it wasn't until a year later that I finally said, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. It was after I prayed that prayer, that simple prayer, God, what do you want me to do? That he made some major changes in my life that put me down a different path that led me to where I am right now. So what is the will of God anyways? You hear that in church, and maybe as you're reading your Bible, you come across something that says the will of God. What does that mean? The will of God, simply put, is the plan and purpose that God has for your life. Now, there are really three kind of categories to God's will. If you're note takers, it'd be a good time to get your pen out, okay? The first category is his declared will. God's declared will. You say, well, what is that? His declared will is the plan that God has for all of the earth that no one can stop, change, or do anything about. In other words, God has planned out, he already gives us our beginning in Scripture, but God has planned out the end of heaven and earth. A new heaven and a new earth to come. He has planned all of that out. And he has a timeline that he has declared nothing will change that. That is his declared will. Isaiah 14 and verse 27 says this. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In other words, God has a plan, a purpose for this entire universe, and no one and nothing is going to stop that will. Amen? Psalm 115, verse 3 simply says this, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That's pretty simple to understand, right? God has a plan for the universe that he has declared. Nothing can change that plan. That is his declared will. Here's the second category. The desired will of God. You have the declared will and his desired will. This is known and revealed to us in Scripture. This is something that is true for all people. We have the choice to obey this will or not to obey. It's universal. I'll give you an example. When God says something in Scripture, thou shalt not lie, that is a universal will for all people. Well, no, that's true. That's God's will for you. No. That's everybody, right? Everybody falls in that category. That's his desired will. Here are some examples in Scripture. 1 Timothy 2:4. It tells us God wants everyone to be saved. That's his will. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is the will of God for every single person in this room and every person in this world, okay? It's the same. These are things that Christians don't have to pray about, all right? Mark 16, 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, God, do you want me to tell people about Jesus? Yes, he does, all right? We don't have to pray about that. We don't have to consider it or, well, maybe that's God's will for your life. No, it's his desired will for all people. It's universal. It's known. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us that we should abstain from fornication. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. God has made it perfectly known. We're not to commit sexual acts outside of the bounds of marriage. You don't have to pray about that, all right? That's the type of will that we're talking about here. It's the same for everyone. 1 Peter 2:15 says it's the will of God to do good works, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's for everybody, all of us. Are we doing that? That's his desired will. Declared will, what he says, it's going to happen. desired will, he gives us the option to obey or not, but it's the same for everybody. Now here's the third category, and this is the one we have the most trouble with. The third category is God's personal will for our lives. This is the will of God for your individual life. It's different for everyone, okay? This is the one that we so often have questions about. Your spouse, your job, your house, your school, where you're going to live, on and on and on it goes. God has a purpose and a plan for each individual in this room that is unique to you and you alone. We can't do anything about His declared will. He desires us to follow His universal will, but then He has a tailor-made plan for every person. That is our personal, or His personal will for us. Now, that's not to say that every single thing that happens to you in life is supposed to give you some divine revelation. A fly lands on your head, and you're like, God, what are you trying to tell me? You know? You trip, or you forget to tie your shoes, or it's like, man, what are you revealing to me? No, just, what do you want you to do with your life? And see, this is the one that we have so much trouble with accepting what He wants to do. It's important to understand, following the will of God is not a promise for an easy life. You know, the truth is, it probably won't line up with our own plan. We might not want it at all. But I pray that we would have the same mindset of Jesus. You remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He was praying? The disciples, what were they doing? What some of y'all are doing right now. What were they doing? Sleeping. They were snoozing. Jesus went off to pray. As He prayed, now remember what He prayed? He asked God. In that moment, the Bible says He sweat great drops of blood. You say, well, what did that symbolize? Nothing. It actually happened. It's a medical condition in which someone is under such stress, such anxiety, and inner turmoil that their pores drip blood. You think, well, what was He so upset and stressed about? Consider, Jesus is God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He knew He was about to be crucified. And can you picture for a second? He knew every ounce of pain He was about to experience. Now, you ever been shocked with one of those things where somebody sticks it on their hand and they're like, hey, how you doing? I just want to punch that person. No, just kidding. That was before Christ. Now you just pray for him. Maybe. You know, me personally, if that thing's ever going to happen to me, just do it and don't tell me. Don't be like, hey, look what I got. Do you want to try it? Because knowing what's going to happen, it just, you know, gives me anxiety. Like, all right, it's not going to hurt. I know it's not going to hurt much, but I know it's going to. Consider all that Jesus knew. He knew every single lash, every punch that would be thrown, every bruise He would have. He knew the drops of blood that would leave His body. He knows that before it happens. Wouldn't that give you some anxiety, some stress, some panic? He's sweating great drops of blood, and listen to His prayer. Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. You think Jesus, now Jesus was completely, fully God and fully man. In His human nature, do you think He wanted to be crucified? Absolutely not. There is nothing in His human nature that said, yeah, I would love to go be crucified right now. That's why the Bible says He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And He prays, God, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do it. Do you remember what He said? Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. when God reveals that personal will for our lives, which, by the way, it's not that hard. We'll talk about it in a second. Maybe we have that same mindset. God, I know this is going to be uncomfortable for me. God, I know that it's going to take some time to get used to. Lord, I don't even want to do this, but not my will, but yours be done. So how can we understand this plan that God has for our lives? You say, well, Pastor Nate, I've asked that question, God, what do you want me to do? And I just don't know. Let's look at Romans 12 again for the answer. How do we discover the will of God? How do we figure it out? Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He begins, Paul is the author of Romans here, and he says this phrase in Romans 12:1. I beseech you. I beseech you. In other words, I implore you. I plead with you. I beg you. Now think about that for a second. Paul is saying to the Romans, I'm begging you to do this. We know Paul is the author. He's the human author. But who's the true author of all Scripture? God. God has inspired this, and God is saying, I implore, plead, beg, beseech you that you would do this. God begging, not because he needs us to do this, but because he wants our good. God has a plan for us, but here's the point. He will not force that plan upon us. His declared will, that's going to happen no matter what we do. His desired will is the same for everybody. We get to choose whether or not we obey. But his personal will, he allows us the option to follow in that or to go a different direction. He will not force us. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we acknowledge that, he will direct us in the way that we should go. But the option is up to us. God will not force a Christian to follow his personal will. He gives us some pretty good reasons why we should, but he doesn't force us. As I said, knowing the will of God and following that are two different things. I know men personally who have been called and surrendered to full-time ministry, to preach, to be a pastor, to be a missionary across the board. They know the will of God for their life. They have surrendered to that, and they're not even in church. They know, but they're not following what God has called them to. There's a difference. So God gives us some reasons why we should. The next phrase there, he says, I beseech you, brethren, Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God. The mercies of God. He says, I beg you to consider the mercies of God. Now, what are God's mercies? Salvation, peace, eternal life, being made new. He gave us the riches of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. My sin debt is paid, the promise of heaven, the guarantee of salvation. He says, consider all that God has done for us. How could we not desire to follow his will? By the mercies of God. What does our next phrase say? He says that ye present your bodies. Present your bodies. Why? Because they belong to him. Your life is not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price. If you're a Christian, listen, you belong to the Lord. Your body, your life, your time, your talents, your treasure, everything you have is God's. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to Him. So present your body to Him. It only makes sense. You say, well, I'm not saved. God doesn't own me. Yes, He does, because He created you. If I create something, that belongs to me. He created us, but if you're a Christian, He owns you twice because He bought you back again. I don't like to pay twice for anything. Jesus paid twice for us. There are many Christians who get so held up in searching. Oh, what does God want me to do? I can't figure it out. It's the hardest thing, and it's like this ultimate quest that if I could just obtain and finally find the treasure map and get the gold, and God will say, "This is what I want," and then it's glory. I finally found it out. It's not that hard. Does God want you to follow His will? Then why would He hide it from us? Hey, I really, really want you to walk in this path, but I'm going to hide it to where you're never going to find it. You're going to have to search your whole life, and you're going to miss it almost, and then barely find it at the... No, it's not that hard. You know, I knew what God wanted me to do in my life. You know what was hard about it? Me. I was the stubborn one. You say, Pastor, you were stubborn? I know, it's hard to believe. The only thing difficult about it was me surrendering to that will. God made it clear. He served it up on a silver platter. You know what I did? Oh, I can't find it. God, where is it? I don't know. Are you sure? Where? He's like, it's like when your kids try to play hide and seek. You can't see me, you know. You're right there. God said, it's right here. Eventually, I said, all right, I know. Here's what I would encourage you to do. You say, well, I'm just still not sure what God wants me to do in my life. Worry about His known will, and He will give you His personal will for your life. Listen, friend, if you're not following His known will, why would God reveal His personal will for your life? His desired will, we already talked about. All men would be saved, that we would give Him thanks, that we would do good works, that we would abstain from fornication, that we would do these things He's revealed to us. If we're not doing that, why would we want to know God's personal will? So we wouldn't follow that either? You know? Here's what I encourage you to do. You know when God showed me what He wanted me to do with my life? When I was following His known will, when I was serving, when I was faithful, it wasn't hard to find after that. But if you're not doing what He's already told you to do, why would He give you something else? Back to verse 1. Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. I heard a preacher say one time, the only bad thing about a living sacrifice is that it can crawl off the altar. We're told to make sacrifices in Scripture, to bring offerings to God. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a sacrificial system in which the people of God would bring animals to sacrifice to the Lord. As a symbol of the ultimate sacrifice, it pictured Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, who was yet to come. It would cover their sins. They were commanded to do that. It wasn't optional. It was His desired will for all of His people. Today, when Jesus came and He gave Himself as a sacrifice, He made one sacrifice for all people, for all sin, for all time. One and done, baby. It was over. And He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is finished, paid in full. It's done. God no longer requires animal sacrifice. But in the New Testament, it does talk about bringing offerings to God. You say, well, like animal? What are we supposed to? No. We can give God, the Bible says, an offering of praise. That's important. It says that we are to bring Him an offering of what we have, our substance. We can offer God, the Bible says, we can offer Him our prayer. But you know, above all, above our prayer or our praise or our substance, all that we have or our service, you know what God wants? He wants a living sacrifice ourselves. He wants us. That's the offering that we bring. We no longer sacrifice bulls and goats. We're the sacrifice. He said, well, man, I don't have to die. No, that's why it's called a living sacrifice. That means every day you're to re-offer yourself to the Lord for His service. And what does the end of verse 1 say? So we'll present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is your, what are those last two words? Say them loud with me. Reasonable service. It is our reasonable service. It is the only thing that makes sense. Because of all that Jesus has done for us, the only reasonable and rational thing to do is to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. That's reasonable. Say, well, God, that's a little unreasonable that you would ask that of me. No, 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 friend. That is the only thing that makes sense. Because of what He has done, He has saved us. We're eternally secure. How could I not give Him my life? There is no other thing that I could even consider doing than to surrender my will to the Lord. And friend, don't be content with walking partly in the will of God. Don't just walk halfway of what God has planned for you. That didn't work for them in the Old Testament. They weren't offering half sacrifices here, okay? Hey, we're just going to give you a leg today. We'll come back. We want this guy to bring all the way. Listen, friend, don't be satisfied with just half, because you don't want just half of what God has planned for you, do you? You know, I get these texts on my phone a lot of times. Anybody ever get a Redbox movie or something? And I subscribe to the text. Nobody here? Okay, all right. I guess I'm the only one. Sometimes I ask questions. It's like, I'm behind too. So, but I'll get texts that'll say, buy one, get one free. No thanks. 50 cents off. Nah, I'm all right. You know what I'm looking for? Full free. You know, the whole thing. Give me the whole thing. I don't want some discount. I want the whole thing. Give it to me. How could we be satisfied with saying, God, well, I'm only going to halfway in, halfway out. I'm going to follow the plan, a little bit of my plan. Friend, partial obedience is disobedience to God. You know, I got to the point in my life, and here was really the turning point. I got to the point of my life where I came to this conclusion. If I do anything else other than what God has planned for me, I will regret my entire life. I thought, if God allows me to make it to my deathbed, and I look back, if I do not follow His will for my life, I will completely regret the life I have just lived. Friend, don't wait until that time. Don't wait until that time. Verse 2, the next verse, tells us this. Be not conformed to this world. Conformed, molded. You ever play with Play-Doh as a kid? Some of you still play? I don't know. Don't be molded by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, if you're being conformed to this world, you cannot follow the will of God, because you're following the will of the world. If you're following that path, you can't follow both. So he says, don't be molded, don't be shaped by the world. Because if you're following the world, you will not follow the will of the Lord. D.L. Moody said it this way: if I walk with the world, I cannot walk with God. Verse 2 goes on to say again, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says that ye may prove, that ye may understand, that ye may discern, that you may recognize the will of God. If you're being conformed to this world, you'll never know what God wants you to do. You won't be able to see it. You won't be able to understand it. But if you're giving yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, then he is going to prove, he's going to reveal, he's going to show you that so that you're able to discern it. I love how it says the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. The only perfect path for you to walk is God's path. You know, some things are hard to do. But God is not hiding his will from us. I truly believe it is not hard to find the will of God. It's not a great mystery or a treasure map you have to follow. Some things are hard. I don't know about you. Since spring summer has hit, I'm losing the battle against weeds at my house right now. They're overcoming me. I don't understand how I can grow grass in my blacktop, but there has been a dead spot of grass in my yard for 2 years. Anybody else? You know what I mean? Some things are hard, friend. Some things we don't understand. But God is not hiding his will from us. He's not trying to keep it secret. He wants you to follow it. And here's the thing. Don't wait around. Well, I'm just going to wait until God shows me what to do. Do something. Be busy serving the Lord. You'd be surprised. He might reveal to you it's exactly where he wants you. Be busy. How many times, I wonder, does somebody come to the end of their life and they think, if I could live my life over, I would do it differently? Friend, you know the truth is, if they did and if they could, they probably would live it the same exact way. You know the proof of that? It's us right here. We have the chance to make a change right now. Truth is, most of us won't. Until it's too late, and then we would say, well, if I could, I would do it differently then. Friend, the decision, don't wait until it's too late. My stepmom called me, and I'll kind of close here, and we'll pray. My stepmom called me just this past week. Her name's Letha. Her and my dad attend here to the church faithfully. They're visiting some family this weekend. But she told me about a woman who has cancer, a patient that she knows of. And this woman had called her. She has cancer. She's in her 40s. She's bedridden. Hospice has been called. And Letha was having a phone conversation with her. Now, if she was here, I probably wouldn't be able to tell this story because she would probably faint that I'm bringing her up, all right? But she's gone now, so if she listens to this, she'll probably punch me later, okay? She was having a phone conversation with this woman, and the conversation ended. And Letha said, she thought, I should have shared the gospel with that woman. I should have told her about Jesus. And maybe even the thought crossed her mind, man, if I could talk to her again, if I could do it differently, I would. About that time, the phone rings. She called back. I think that was God saying, prove it. Prove it. And so sure enough, she shared Christ with that lady over the phone and led her to the Lord, to salvation, right over the phone. And she said, I didn't even really want to share with you because I didn't want you to think I was bragging. I said, Letha, you're one of the most humble people I know. I wouldn't think that at all. I said, I just want to praise the Lord with you. I think sometimes God gives us another chance, and I think he's given us another chance right now, and he's saying, prove it. How many times even now where we're at, we think, oh, if I could do that over again, I would do it differently. God says, prove it. Do it differently right now. Maybe you need to come this morning and you need to pray a simple prayer. I was 17 when I said these words the first time to God. God, what do you want me to do? It's never too late to ask God what he wants for your life. Would you stand with me this morning? As you stand, I invite you to bow with me.